Backseat Box Office, episode number 87, for the weekend of May 18th through the 20th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. Welcome. This is Backseat Box Office, by the way.
And it's a little thing we do. If you're terrified right now because you're watching us YouTube, don't be worried. This is something new we're trying out. We're streaming through Google Hangouts, which posts to YouTube, and now you can see us in all our glory.
Yeah. Except for
I'm
Andrew.
I'm only really terrified of the nothing that has consumed you. That's all.
Well, the void moved in, and it's not good. Let's just say there's a lack of light.
You know, it would be more interesting if you weren't in between us geographically, between Holmberg and I geographically, because then we could just say, it's coming.
Well, it's spreading out across the country.
Either that or the sexy was too much for Google Hangout and they just decided not to show his image.
I got to tell you, if you haven't played around with Google Effects on Google Hangouts, you should. I was rocking a astronaut helmet, a beard, and some sweet-ass sunglasses.
I think that's what broke it. I think you were too much for it.
I may have. My camera may have just given up. And then you can see Tony rocking his sweet astronaut
helmet.
Because we potentially
have brand new people who have no clue what the hell's going on, since we're
so we should not do what we usually do and actually explain what we are and what we do for once.
Maybe we haven't done that in a while.
20 episodes
probably means the chances of us having new people listening are probably slim.
That is also correct.
Unless they stumble across us on YouTube,
we still don't know what.
So Tony,
why am I listening?
Tony, tell us why we're here and what we're doing.
Why we're here is because it's Thursday night, and I needed a really good excuse to drink beer. But what we're doing, though, is we're talking about the movies that are coming out. We are making predictions about how the box office for this upcoming weekend is going to line out as far as the order. We're not so much worried about dollar amounts because that gets a little anal and crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. We consult various websites for assistance in our prognostication. Typically, Box Office Mojo, Rotten Tomatoes, HSX. Any place we can get some good numbers to try to figure out just what the heck's going on. And we've been doing this for a year and a half, and we're still really not all that good at it. So
we've got 86 episodes that prove we are very mediocre.
Yes.
That is disturbingly true.
Yeah. So the way we do this is we pick the top five movies as we are predicting that they will shake out for the box office this coming weekend.
And that's domestic box office.
Yes, correct. The U.S. domestic box office. Again, don't really care about the dollar amounts. Just that they fall in a particular order, a descending order, as it were. And then we make our picks. We've created this really bizarre scoring system.
Whoa. What's this we there, Chief?
Well, that's true. I guess it was me. You guys... To be fair, all right.
We signed off on it, but we didn't create it.
All right, so I'm going to quote Ben Kenobi here. Who's more the fool or the fool who follows him? So
the answer is me.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I've created this scoring system, which for the most part people have not complained about, so we're just going to stick with it. Basically, you get 25 points to start with. If you run out of points, you're not going to get negative points. We do cap you at, or I guess bottom you at zero, shoe you, since cap and shoe, I don't know. We cut you off at zero. That's the lowest you can go. But you get 25 points for every position you are off with your five picks, you lose a point. Unless you have incorrectly selected the number one pick at the box office that weekend. In which case, you lose 2 points for that because, come on. Come on. You don't put Dylan Dog at number one. That's just a bad idea.
That's just cruel, man.
You don't put Take Me Home Tonight in your top five.
Or that. That's a bad idea. That is also a bad idea. So, that's the gist of it. We had some mulligans, but this season's almost over. So if you're joining new, they're not really going to come into play. I think we might do away with the mulligan system. That was really weird and caused a lot of confusion.
I think the mulligan system creates a barrier to entry. I think if you don't participate, you take the average. I won't bore people with it, but I think it created a barrier to entry, or are people sticking around?
What I find funny is how when we introduced the mulligan system, I gave Tony crap for being, you know,
second year professor.
Now he's like, we've now moved into the age of the, you know, the tenured professor.
I don't care. Whatever.
I'm gonna do things my way, and if you come to class, whatever.
I tried this thing, and it created chaos, confusion, and more work for me. Therefore, it is out of here.
More work for me.
This analogy continues to hold.
The thing is, I'm actually now the professor that has a TA. A couple of them. A
couple TAs.
I don't have to do this stuff anymore. So I don't care.
And so the way we play this game, because we play with listeners, we invite anyone who wants to play at backseatproducers.com. Up in the top banner, there's a line that called BSBO scoring. You can click on that. There's examples of the scoring system in practice. And then there's the leaderboard, which lists, I think we have 20-some people on it currently.
Right.
It lists their composite scores, names, and how they did the past week. So that's how we keep track of them. We have two fantastic interns, Lena and William. William does the results show that drops midweek, saying how all the listeners did. How everybody did. And then Lena takes care of the scoreboard, leaderboard each week. In show notes, I believe.
Yep. So apparently I messed up the video by accidentally clicking on Holmberg. So you've been looking at his mug for a while now.
Hey.
We're sorry.
It's a sexy mug. Also, hands.
The hands, yeah. Yeah, everybody gets to see the
first video evidence of them
regularly.
Now hold a bowling ball up to them so you can see how small it is in comparison. You have to give reference, because just looking at you at a webcam, people who have not met you are not going to get. You need, actually, you know, most people
want me to hunt down a bowling ball because I can.
Not
the size of the thumb hole that they had to special drill for me.
The bowling ball was more of a rhetorical. Grab a hardback book off the bookshelf behind you, or within reach. Grab a Harry Potter book. Everybody knows how big those are.
Dance, monkey. Dance. All right. So, here we go.
Here's the stand.
Oh, my God.
Okay, paperback version of the stand. Right.
Paperback version of the stand. I don't know what comparison.
Just put your hand over it and watch. Show them how it disappears.
Okay, this time I'm actually going to click on Holmberg's video so we can see it. Oh, my God.
Gigantic hands. Having met Jonathan in person several times, Jesus, they are big.
You'd think with hands that big, there would be no blood flow to anywhere else in his body. But he's a fairly smart guy, so at least his brain's getting it. So
hey, big hands, big heart.
Apparently
just makes me susceptible to Loki.
I was gonna say enlarged heart, or
is this like congestive heart failure type large heart? Like
no, but my mother was convinced I had that for a little while.
Wow,
she's like, your hands, they're swollen. That must mean your heart is failing. Like, stop reading things.
The internet is not
you,
always
but...
good.
Yeah.
So we usually start these off by, you know, bantering for a minute, and then I typically tell everybody in review how everything did this past week. And so And we go, our definitive source that we use for all scoring is Box Office Mojo's actuals. Not the estimates, the actuals that are posted Monday afternoon. So this past weekend, Marvel's The Avengers continues to hold at number one. It did drop 50%, but they still made $103 million domestically, which is, I think we'll all agree, a ridiculous amount of money. Total, domestically, Avengers has made $395 million. When you combine that with the foreign market, it's made a little over $1 billion. And domestically, it's been out 2 weeks. Foreign, it's been up three. So kudos again to Marvel's Joss Whedon and everybody else who was involved with that project. Dark Shadows debuted at number two with $29.6 million. New film from Johnny Depp, Tim Burton. Think Like a Man is number three with $5.8 million. The Hunger Games dropped to number four with $4.5 million. The Lucky One held at number five this week with $4.1 million. Tony, tell us how you did last weekend.
Before I do that, I just wanted to make note that I'm looking at the worldwide grosses, for the all time worldwide grosses. Currently, as we record this at 11:40. Ish PM Central Time on Thursday evening, Marvel's Avengers has a worldwide box office total of $1,042.5 million. It is $1.4 million behind Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. It's currently in ninth place. Pirates is in eighth. Give it 10 more minutes and it's going to be in eighth place. And probably just from a quick glance at these numbers, it is likely going to be in fourth place by the end of this upcoming weekend, with the worldwide totals.
Well, I think the good question is can it make another worldwide? Can it make another $1.7 billion in unseen Avatar, which currently sits at number one in worldwide all time?
I don't think it can.
I don't think so either.
I think what it has working against it is the fact that we are at the cusp of the summer box office season, and what Avatar had going for it was that it came out at Christmas. So there was no competition for like 16 weeks.
It had a summer blockbuster that never had anything going up against it.
Yeah.
It had a super long tail. I mean, that movie was making... That movie was still in 1,000 theaters in the U.S. in July.
Yeah,
because it came out, it made a ton of money, and why would you take it out if it continues to produce so well?
If you look at the records that it held, it's ridiculous that... It's got like, it's in the top five of like first through 11th week sales all time.
And you're talking about Avatar,
right? Avatar, yeah. I mean the amount of money it made week over week was just incredible. Though opening weekend and second weekend, Avengers has beaten it.
I just don't think it's gonna
last as long.
Right.
Isn't this the first movie that's held $100 million on its second weekend?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. So, they were the big question ahead of last weekend was could it do it? Because most movies lose when you start getting movies that make over like $100 million in their opening weekend. They tend to lose greater than 50% in the second weekend because everybody goes to see it the first weekend and then they've seen it. They don't come back. This one, man, people came back. Now, it did still lose 50%, but when you're talking $207 million, 50% still $103
million. Yeah.
It wasn't it lost 60%.
I just saw it.
Yeah.
Which is shocking to me.
Yeah. Second week. That was pretty impressive. The more potentially shocking thing is that I may end up taking my wife to go see it this weekend.
Really? I'm trying to get there with my wife this weekend as well.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe this movie does have the legs to...
we have a busy weekend, but I can see within the next couple of weeks taking Julie to see it. So,
well, I think more interesting, if you just look domestic, we've been talking worldwide. If you look at all-time domestic gross, not adjusted for inflation, right now Marvel's Avengers is in 13th with $395.8 million. It is essentially $305 million behind Avatar. Mm-hmm. That...
I think that's in striking distance.
That's doable.
That is within striking distance.
So, because Avatar had a huge... Besides doing very well in the U.S., Avatar did very, very well internationally, and so has the Avengers, but... like I said, I don't think the Avengers are going to do as well worldwide as it's going to do domestically in terms of percentages. So...
Yeah,
I can see it striking at Avatar domestically.
Looking at the dollar amount they're at now, the Avengers is right now, if they have another 50% loss, they'll make about $50 million this weekend.
Right.
Figure in what they make today at probably another five. They're looking at being in sixth place domestic gross after this weekend.
Yes.
And in fourth the weekend after that. And then it'll be a little bit steeper climb as
the weeks go by. You know, we'll keep an eye on it even after it drops out of the top five, probably, because it's such an interesting story to see where it's going to go. But
right.
But now, Tony, how did you do last weekend?
How did I do last weekend?
How did you do?
You know what? I don't have that page up. I don't remember. But everybody dittoed me. But I did
Jonathan?
Father Beast. Who did Jonathan ditto?
Jonathan and I had the same picks last week.
That's what I thought.
Now, I will forgive everybody in the comments who dittoed Andrew, because I did make a big deal about how dittoing me was a bad idea.
Yeah.
That said, I did not ditto anyone.
It's true. You gave your picks first last week, and
that's
just
true.
Hopped on the Jonathan train.
That is, I just want to make it clear. It is okay that people don't want to ditto me. I forgive that, because I don't want you to, because I fear what happens. However,
he doesn't want to feel bad because you fail because of him.
Yeah, I don't want you all dragging me down is what really.
So what you're saying is, when people ditto you, they are the drag chute.
Hey, that's my rule.
Hey, when I have not been dittoed, things have gone really well. When I have been, things have gone poorly. This week, everybody else dittoed Andrew, and look how it worked. I only had one ditto, and we only did mildly. Actually, we did pretty well. So.
We did pretty well. I mean, I wouldn't buck the system. I would keep it, because it works for everybody. It works for you, because your scores don't tank, and it works for me, because people like to say they ditto me.
Yeah, so...
So, Jonathan and I, because actually, we did finish better than you, Tony. So, Jonathan and I, you know, we got the Avengers correct. We got Dark Shadows right. We got Think Like a Man right. So, 1 through 3, we got perfect. 4, we got perfect. The only thing we were wrong in is that Jonathan and I, Scott, William, we all picked Pirates at number 5.
Yep.
Pirates is actually number 7. So, that's 2 spots off. That cost us 2 points. So, out of that total of possible, total of 25, with a perfect score, we dropped to a 23. Tony did not quite that good.
Slightly worse. I had the top three, the same as you guys, Avengers, Dark Shadows, and Think Like a Man. And then for number 4, actually, my 4 and 5 were reversed from you guys. I had Pirates at number 4, Hunger Games at number 5. Hunger Games was 1 off, Pirates was 3 off. So I rocked 21.
Very nice. Very nice.
And then... I'm going to go ahead and mention it here, because the picks are actually on the show notes for last time. Lena picks The Avengers, Dark Shadows, Think Like a Man, Hunger Games, and The Lucky One. Then I get a Google chat like on Friday. I'm questioning my picks. Could I change that? It's like, you know, traditionally, the hosts have never changed their picks after we've recorded them. You're not a host.
We've had listeners change.
We have had listeners change, and that's within the rules. That's As long as you do it before noon on Saturday, I'm cool with it. But do it, make sure it's done publicly, like in the show notes, or not in the show notes, but in the comments. So, or on Twitter. So, you know, it's big and bold and public. So if anybody has a question, you know, it's, there it is. It's there. You can see it. People have made their change. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not feeling the lucky one. I don't know if it's going to make it. I think I should change it. I said, well, you know, that's up to you, but nobody's ever done it before. So, I think she took the path of least resistance and just didn't change it. Damn it.
Way to go, Tony.
Yeah, like she's saying in the chat room right now, it felt like cheating. But, yeah, she did end up getting a 25 this week. Her and Mentally both got a 25. So, my cheap shot at Mentally earlier with Dylan Dog, she got a 25 this week, so that's a big F you to me.
Now I understand the cheap shot. Feeling jealousy was riled up a little bit. A
little bit.
It came out. We saw a little bit of the ugly side of Tony Mast right there.
You can watch the video. It's right there.
It's true. For once, the viewers can see what we see. So now if people want to participate, Tony, how would they do that? If they want to join in, they watch us on YouTube, they stumbled across it, what would you tell them?
We have a plethora of ways. I'm not going to go as far as doing YouTube comments because unless Lena really wants to call YouTube comments for picks, if she wants to do that, I'm going to leave that up to her. But we have a variety of other ways to do picks. You can send an email to backseatproducers@gmail.com. You can tweet at Better in the Back and leave your picks there. You can come to the website, backseatproducers.com, and within the comments of this episode or the result show before it, you know, whatevs, you can leave your picks there. You can leave a voicemail. You can call 618-207-4794. There used to be a contact me button that would call you, and I'm looking at the website now and I don't see it, so I need to find out what's up with that. There is a forum that is woefully undervisited. You could leave something there.
We have forums?
We do have a forum, yes.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't think it's been touched in 10 months-ish.
I thought those had become extinct.
Mostly. This is that one hanger on. This is the cockroach hanging on past the dinosaur era.
Hey, I thought there was some sort of meteor strike and they'd all gone the way of the dodo 2-3 years ago.
No.
But maybe not. What do I know?
It is still there. So, yeah, we have a number of ways. If you have the ability and the wherewithal, you can record an MP3 file and email it to that aforementioned backseatproducers@gmail.com. So we've got ways. And if you do leave a voicemail or send in an MP3, there's a results show that airs typically on Wednesday that is recorded by a listener and now intern of Backseat Producers, Mr. William Paul. He takes care of that for us. The aforementioned Lena is another intern that has been suckered in to helping out. And we've got a lot of help. We got a lot of people working on this. If you want to help out, let me know. Like, I'm sure I can find something for you to do.
So we have three new movies coming out wide release next weekend, which is kind of a change because for those who haven't been listening, the last month, 2 months, the release schedule has been fairly limited and small as we kind of move through the slow part of the year.
Yeah.
But we're starting to get into summer blockbuster territory in the last couple of weeks. And we actually have three films coming out. We got Battleship, Oh boy.
Yes, we do.
I don't even know where to start with this. It's starring Taylor Kitsch, Alexander.
You should start with A1.
Make yeah. Sure, make and sure you then take work diagonals, corners. Right? Work the diagonals.
Work the diagonals. The take path the corners. Victory. Make sure you don't do two missed spots adjacent to each other because that's just wasteful.
That's right. And it's starring Alexander Skarsgård. It's got Liam Neeson. It's got Taylor Kitsch in it. I have zero interest in this movie. I think the idea is ridiculous. The trailers make me cringe and die a little bit inside. And for those who are new to this, I'm a very positive, upbeat person with a low threshold of enjoyment. And this just looks awful to
hey,
me.
Hey, hey.
Andrew picked Take Me Home Tonight.
Stop.
On his list at one point. So, you know.
For me to dislike something is saying something.
If anybody can get excited about a terrible movie, you would think it would be him.
I saw Ghost Rider 2 opening weekend. I hated it, but I saw Ghost Rider 2 opening weekend.
To be fair, I did see Take Me Home Tonight.
How was it?
I checked it out from the library. It was actually not too bad. It wasn't great, but it was very reminiscent of the, you know, the, for lack of a better term, titties and beer teen comedies of the 80s.
Well, that was, I think that was the intent.
Yeah, and it was exactly that.
I think truth in advertising then.
Though, if I understand right, this uses real Navy, not SEALs.
Stop.
Necessarily,
no, it does. But that's it, that other
does
movie.
Use, no, it does use. It actually, they actually got like permission and backing of the U.S. Navy for this movie. I am not making that up.
Well, you know, you said it after the U.S. Navy SEALs movie. And I'm blanking. It was something of valor, right?
Yeah, Active Valor.
Active Valor. So after,
ooh,
you know, when we were
Navy
talking about Active Valor
Seals.
Before it came out, you said, exactly. Before it came out, we talked on the show before, you talked about how if they didn't have recruiting stations set up right outside, they were missing their mark.
Yep.
You know, why wouldn't the military get behind it?
They didn't get behind the Avengers.
Well, that doesn't surprise me so much as superheroes.
No.
Of course, this is aliens, so never mind. My point is invalid.
But the Air Force...
I repudiate myself.
The Air Force did support Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie.
Yeah, but that was because the Air Force played a significant role in the first Iron Man movie.
It
and
did.
Really, the military doesn't play any sort of role in the Avengers at all.
No, and that was weird. But Iron Man, it played a significant role, and they treated the Air Force right.
Yeah.
They did right by the Air Force. They didn't make them out to be a bunch of dickbags, basically.
Yeah.
But, well said.
You know, it's not all that surprising that the end... I mean, because you have a secret intelligence force... By the way, did I mention I saw the Avengers this weekend?
After an hour ago. And after we talk about what's coming out, I do want to talk to you about what you thought about it, because Tony and I talked about it some last week. I want to hear your thoughts, what you thought about it, but let's roll through these movies real quick. So is anyone here going to see Battleship?
Doubtful.
No.
You know what? I actually might see it on DVD when it comes out.
I think I'd wait for
if someone,
Netflix.
Yeah.
Streaming.
I'll either stream it or check it out from the library, that kind of thing.
I will destroy my computer before I watch on Netflix screaming. I will tear my motherboard out, stomp on the CPU until it's little itty bitty pieces to stop that crime against humanity from happening.
But Andrew, did you not see when the aliens attack? It looks like a peg.
A white and red peg.
It Jeez. Does. It does. It looks like
it
a
does.
Peg.
I know.
Hitting the ship.
It's so ridiculous. And I like ridiculous things. It's just too ridiculous.
Well, you're part of the show, so it's obvious that you like ridiculous things.
That is fair. So, Battleship, it's opening. Shoot. So sometimes I don't have the right tab opened. It's opening in 3,690 theaters. Rated PG-13. It's currently trading at $91.55 at HSX. but it's been dropping steadily over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
From a peak of 120.
To be fair, everything has that's opening this weekend. Everything's
we'll get
been,
to that.
Been falling. It's rocking so 37% on Rotten Tomatoes with
with
116 reviews.
What percentage of people are interested in seeing it?
85.
With, so speaking with about ridiculous
almost,
things.
With almost 80,000 user rankings, 85% of the people want to see it. That makes my heart hurt.
It does. One of the things we've learned on the show is you cannot count on the American public. They will let you down every single time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of ridiculous, we also have The Dictator coming out. It's the new Sacha Baron Cohen movie. I got to tell you, as much as I dislike Battleship, kind of like the look of The Dictator.
I do kind of like the look of The Dictator as well. What I love is the
Sacha Baron Cohen, or whatever. Sacha Cohen. I don't care for that dude.
So what do you dislike about him? Just the style? The
I don't know, just the everything I've ever seen from or about him has always just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It isn't my kind of humor,
and
as best I can tell.
I totally get that because
yeah,
if it's not your thing, it comes off as really smug and asshole-ish.
Yeah,
but look at who I podcast with on a regular basis.
Hey, totally, I'm sitting right here.
I'm not talking about you guys.
There's also, though, like, and I don't know, maybe this is wrong, but there's always, also, I've always gotten this sense of, like, it's the same reason I don't really want to watch Jackass. Like, I don't want to see, I don't like seeing other people put in uncomfortable and awkward and, you know.
But I don't think you're going to see.
And he does that. He that's very much part of his shtick. Is putting real people in awkward situations.
It has been in Borat, which I very much enjoyed. Bruno, which I never saw because I didn't like the look of it. But The Dictator is not gonna have that same pattern. Because The Dictator, unlike the other ones, where he's playing a character interacting with unsuspecting passerbys, in this one, it's an actual film.
Yeah,
with actors.
See, and I just avoided it because I assumed it was going to be like the other ones.
So. From what I see in the trailers, it's him, you know, he plays this third world dictator from, let's say, Iraq before we invaded it. And, you know, he has that whole trope and all those stereotypes going on. And he comes to the U.S., hijinks of some type ensue, and people don't know who he is. And they just start, he looks like just a regular New Yorker. And then he experiences kind of life. But I haven't seen anything in the trailers that makes me think it follows that Borat and Bruno pattern of him interacting with people who aren't part of it, who aren't in on it.
Right.
Everything I've seen, it looks like he is actually working with actors and it's actually filmed.
It looks scripted. It all looks scripted.
Very much so.
Well, that's fine if that's what it is, but I'm just saying, as of this moment, I have avoided all media about it because I just assumed it was going to be more of the same from before.
Sure.
And that's a fair
That is a fair assumption.
Yeah, I don't know very much if it's going to play into how it does this weekend, but that's the assumption I've been working under, and so I don't know how many other people have been working under that same assumption. So
yeah. Anyway. So one of the things I love about this is the description, cuz most of these movies they put out their stock description, and it would have been great to read the one for Battleship before, because like they describe the characters, and one of them they just describe as a massage therapist. What? Anyway, for The Dictator, though, it's really short and sweet and kind of hilarious. The heroic story of a North African dictator who risks his life to ensure that democracy would never come to the country he so lovingly oppressed.
It's also got Anna Faris, Ben Kingsley in it as well.
Yeah, when I saw Ben Kingsley was in it, it was like, ooh, that's weird. He makes some odd choices sometimes, but
it's so does Liam Neeson. But
yeah,
see Battleship.
True.
It's almost like Coming to America, but it's not by choice. He's not running away from it. He kind of gets forced into coming to America.
I totally got that vibe from the trailer and the commercials also. Completely. And Anna, so Jonathan, Anna Faris looks like a boy. Her haircut is terrible.
So, Jonathan, anyone else who may have made that assumption because it's another Sacha Baron Cohen film, I'd say check out, you know, take 3 minutes of your life, check out the trailer, and see what you think then.
Yeah, I'm still not interested.
That's fair. I Jonathan, hey, as the one guy in the movie who doesn't really watch movies.
Yeah, I'm the hipster on the podcast. So if 85% of the people want to see it, oh wait, that's Battleship. Either way, not going to see either of those movies this weekend.
Yeah, hey, let's pick our battles. He did go see the Avengers.
Because it was him and three guys hadn't seen it after opening weekend. There was just three of them, well, four total, I guess, who hadn't seen it in America. So I'm glad
it's,
they got off.
It's like the Hunger Games. The last one gets his nuts cut off.
I'm pleased to announce that I was not the last guy to see it.
No, but that guy's going to show up tomorrow and be very disappointed when they take him off that side room.
That is not my problem, though.
That's going to be a bad afternoon for that guy.
You should have followed through on the memo.
Speaking of movies that I'm not going to see, the third movie coming out is What to Expect When You're Expecting, opening in 3,021 theaters. Wow, I don't know how... I have a child. We did get a copy of What to Expect When You're Expecting when we were pregnant, when my wife was pregnant with him. I don't know how you turn that into an ensemble comedy.
By making it ridiculous.
I haven't even watched the trailer.
I've seen the trailer. There's something amusing about it, but it's amusing in a... It's like... It's almost like it's people who have never had kids are telling stories about having kids. And then people who have had kids are like, yeah, whatever. I mean, it just, I don't know, it's got this really weird vibe to it. And parts of it look funny, but it looks kind of, I don't know. It's not mean-spirited. It doesn't seem mean-spirited. Because one of the bigger concerns I have with movies like this is that, hey, we've got a movie about how men and women are different, so the guys are going to be buffoons.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that sense from the trailer.
And I didn't get that sense, so it automatically kind of endeared me a little bit to it, because it didn't do that. And
there's only...
The one scene that I saw that I liked was, basically, there's this group of dads that are like a support group, and they like all hang out together. So it's like one of these like mommy groups, but it's like dads. And the one's...
group, I think.
Yeah, and the one's like saying how he screwed something up, and the other guys are like, oh, yeah, it's not that big a deal. Hey, get that cigarette out of your mouth. You know? And just...
Oh, yeah, I dropped her I dropped her twice.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not a big deal. So they are all, like, comparing stories of colossal screw-ups. It's like, yeah, I brought the wrong kid home from daycare once. So, I mean...
That's not buffoonish at all.
No.
Not at all.
Strikes you as honest. Like, I've heard people talking about that around The Office. Like,
right.
I forgot to pick up my kid after... I mean, my wife loves to tell a story about her dad. He was watching football while holding her brother, got pissed at whatever the Broncos had done, and spiked the kid into the couch.
Oh my god,
that's terrifying.
That's kind of hilarious.
I forgot for a second what he was holding, and
oh wow. My god,
kid was fine. Michael was fine, but it was pretty hilarious.
The only thing the only thing that kind of endears this to me is the fact that Chris Rock is in it.
Yeah,
I mean.
And the bits I've seen with the women, because they kind of focus on the men there, but the bits
they're
really
pushing the men.
I think they're trying to soften it for the men. But even some of the stuff they've seen with like some of the women, the wives of these men that we've just seen, is some of them are just batshit crazy too. I mean, they're doing bizarre stuff. I did like the scene where
she's like, "Baby, I love you, but all I want to do is punch you in the face."
Yes,
that's fair. When you have kids, that's fair.
Wasn't she in labor?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, she's like, oh, she's way pregnant and in front of a group. Like, because the thing that I got from it was, it looks like she's an author and maybe is promoting a book and like a self-help author kind of thing.
Yeah, so yeah, that's one of the characters.
Sharing her experiences as she's going through this, and so she's in front of an audience of readers, and there's her husband at the back. She's like, "Baby, I love you, but all I want to do is punch you in the face." I don't think she's in labor at that time, but she's really pregnant.
Yeah, so. it looks moderately funny. My biggest concern about it is that all the funny stuff was in the trailer.
Yeah,
because it's large ensemble.
It is. It's five couples. It's got Cameron Diaz. It's got Brooklyn Decker, Anna Kendrick, Chase Crawford, Chris Rock, Dennis Quaid, Lisa Banks, to name a few. But pop quiz for you guys. What actor or actress is both in this movie and in Battleship?
Brooklyn Decker.
Very good.
I study.
That's a kind of far away sound, and you're like,
I study. Oh. You know what? You could show me a picture of this person, and I wouldn't know if it's a male or female. But I know that the person is Brooklyn Decker. I'm assuming it's a female based on things I've heard.
It is.
I have no clue who this person is.
Well, let me help you, because this will help you remember who she is from now on. She began her career as a model and became famous for her work in the Sports Illustrated magazine swimsuit issue.
With a name like Brooklyn Decker. I would think she worked the pole at Roxy's, and
classy.
Yeah, I don't think she really started as a model.
Well, she made her first movie appearance and just go with it. And I guess her second movie is What to Expect When You're Expecting in Battleship, which I guess are second and third, and they're coming out the same weekend. So however you want to count that. So this is her second and third movies coming out this weekend, respectively.
I'm looking at her photo gallery on Rotten Tomatoes. She's a pretty girl.
She was a model. So those are the three new movies. In a minute, we're going to go through and tell you how we're going to pick. But I got to know what Jonathan thinks of Avengers first.
I wasn't that impressed.
Jonathan, I will fly to your home state and find you.
I don't know. You know... The acting,
seriously,
the lackluster.
You're trolling me, aren't you?
Kind of like phoned it in.
You're trolling me, aren't you?
Maybe.
Okay. I can put my blood pressure medication bottle down. You know, I had it right here. I was ready to start popping pills as it spiked.
No, it was very good. It was. I enjoyed all of it, and even though Joss Whedon had to be Joss Whedon with one of the characters that everybody loves from every film ever that they've done since they started this whole...
In TV series.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're talking about the character... Yes, yes. What Joss has done since he's been in TV.
Yeah, what Joss has done every since... But at least, unlike with, say, Wash, it felt... appropriate this time around.
I liked the meta commentary after it happened.
Yeah.
Loki did this to us just to piss us off.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like he did this because he knew that this was the connection and this is what drew us all together. So, yeah. It was like it was such a cool meta commentary because that's exactly what Joss Whedon does.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was I really enjoyed it. I think they did a good job of setting up for future stuff. I think they did a really good job of wrapping up all the storylines from all the other movies. You know, they tied them all into this one movie really well and still allowed them to go out and, you know, we can get Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 and whatever without it feeling, you know,
weird. Forced and artificial.
Yeah,
they kind of give them the opportunity to move on.
They go their own way with that ending.
It's a great ending that allows them to go wherever they please, pretty much. You know,
in their own movies,
it wraps up a lot of the loose ends. I love the teaser at the end and then the extra bit at the very end. That was fantastic. There were a lot of great callbacks through it. Tony Stark was phenomenal, as always. Like, Robert Downey Jr. was born to play Tony Stark.
Well, it's him! It's
just fact. Yeah.
He spent his whole life preparing for that role by living it.
And I didn't have any issues with it. Like, I just listened to the superhero... I listened to it while I was on the road a while ago, but then I listened to it again today. The superhero episode with T and Pip.
Right.
And I found myself thinking back on Thor and thinking back on Captain America and all of the last year's superhero movies. And it was like, none of them, I think Cap ended least annoyingly, but none of them really, when I stopped to think back on all of them, none of them was fully satisfying all the way through. But this one was. Like, there was no point at which I felt this is forced or this is, you know, unnecessary. There were no unnecessary wrap-ups of like with X-Men First Class. We didn't try to jam everything into the last 5 minutes. There were no relationships that felt either forced like in Thor or just completely pointless like in Captain America, you know. I do think that they kind of may have dropped the ball a little bit on the whole, you know, I don't know. The relationship from Captain America now feels even less purposeful than it was in the movie when you just had Cap and then he was gone. But I don't know. That's rambling a bit. But, you know, I think overall it works. I really enjoyed it. It was really fantastic. It deserves the accolades it's getting, I think. I would probably need to see it again to really still kind of ride in the high of, yes, this was awesome, to get any sort of useful criticism into it. But
well, and you may, hopefully, you'll see it again this weekend.
There's a good chance. We may go house hunting and then...
To be fair, you can look for... You can actually, if you're watching the video, you can go and watch the video of Backseat Producers talking about the Avengers, which we recorded last night. It's not going to be released for a couple of weeks just because we've actually got a couple of episodes that we need to release before then. But you can listen to it right now, our discussion about it. We did have some criticism of it, and some of it valid. One important question that did come up from last night's discussion, I'm going to pose it to you two gentlemen, just to get a broader sampling. ScarJo or Colby Smulder? Or what is it? Colby Smulders. What, I don't even know how to pronounce her name.
Use words, Tony. Use your words.
I don't. Those aren't words. So
Colby Smulders.
I think names Kobe are words, Smulders, actually.
I think that's right. That sounds better. Which one? Come on.
Who's the other one?
ScarJo?
No, I know ScarJo. Who's the other one?
Maria Hill.
Yeah.
She was Fury's right hand. She's in How I Met Your Mother.
The TV show. I mean, ever since I saw Lost in Translation, I'm going to have to go with Scarlett Johansson.
Ever since I saw Scarlett Johansson-ing. Sorry.
Yeah. I agree with you, gentlemen. Oddly enough, Andrew, the first place you saw Scarlett Johansson and you have put her there because of that was the same reason that Adam did not, because he can't stand that
he
movie.
He doesn't like that movie. So.
He's dumb. Yeah, so forget that guy.
I love that movie.
It's a good flick.
Well, you know, I love how they worked in the whole the Swarma bit. You know, I don't know if you. I'm sure Jonathan Majors saw after. Yeah. You know, Iron Man's laying there busted up, and he asked Captain America, like, "Have you ever tried Swarma? There's a Swarma joint about two blocks from here.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but I want to try it.
And that was,
and then they
the
see
way
it.
They, the way they handled that was just brilliant. Like,
it just kept going.
That was so well done. Like
the theater.
And here's where I have to make a confession. Holden and I left.
Oh.
We didn't see that.
You need to go see it, just it kept... again and then watch this.
Yeah. I mean, I figured I'd see it again, so I'm not that really concerned about it.
Because you know, you see them all there. It pops up and everybody kind of in the theater laughed. But then it keeps going. Everybody gets quiet. It keeps going. People start tittering. It keeps going. People start laughing again. It keeps going. And finally it ends.
I love how like Thor is still in his outfit. Cap is still in his outfit.
They just finished fighting.
They literally put some pants on Banner, put a shirt on him, and then went to get shawarma. It was great.
And now, what'd you think of Mark Ruffalo, Jonathan?
I liked him. I don't feel like I got enough of a sense of how he would play Banner in a full Hulk movie.
Sure.
But I liked him, and I really, like, the Hulk and Loki scene was effing fantastic.
That is one of the best scenes.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Hulk made the movie. I've seen that. But at the same time, I'm like, Hulk wasn't in the movie that much.
I wouldn't Hulk. Yeah, I was going to say.
Some fantastic moments, but.
Yes.
Hulk didn't make the movie. I think Hulk made the scenes that he was in.
Yeah.
But he didn't make the movie.
No, he stole the scenes that he was in, but.
Well, Hulk was perfect for the. He was perfect for the one-shot joke, right? With the, you know, with Loki. With when him and Thor are standing there and he just does that thing to Thor. Or, you know, when Cap says him, you know, Hulk, smash? And, yeah. You know, when he roars at the end. He's very good for that one, that quick kicker.
Well, and they also, I think they did a good job of implying that Banner and Hulk get along a little bit better than they have in the previous movies. You know, yeah. Like... They're not quite as at odds, and they each have a bit of control over the other. They're more symbiotic than antagonistic.
I still felt like I missed a scene. I still feel like I missed one scene there, though. I feel like there was just one little bit missing, and I don't know what. And maybe there is, because I've heard tell that there's like. A ton of stuff that was left on the cutting room floor. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just felt like there was just something missing. And it's from the moment when Iron Man says something like, tell me when Banner gets here, to when Banner gets there. I mean, it just felt like there was some little thing missing, and it could have been 10 seconds long, but
it
just
feel like that. I mean, what would you have wanted there?
See, I don't care what it was, but I just it felt like, because Hulk was such, and this is going to be a little spoilery. So the first time we see Hulk, he is just a force, a mindless wrecking machine, which is, you know, what we've seen Hulk as before. Yeah. But in the final battle, that's not what Hulk is.
No.
And that's and that was just there was just a quantum jump there that I just can't reconcile in my mind that
I
and
don't
you know there's
think so.
There's a potential there's a potential explanation there, but I just wanted to see one more thing, just one more thing that pushed it towards.
I think for me anyway, I understand what you're getting at, but I think for me the scene that did that was when the guy who finds him in the abandoned warehouse wakes him up. Gives him his pants, you know.
Right.
He's like, you know, tells him, you were awake and you controlled your flight down. You controlled your fall. Banner couldn't have survived that. It had to be Hulk. And so that's that moment where, no, they're more in charge and aware of, he's not just a mindless wrecking machine. If he was, he would have just landed wherever he landed. But instead, he controlled his flight. He made sure that he hit a place that was abandoned, that wasn't going to hurt anybody. You know, and that was the Hulk doing that, or Banner working with the Hulk to do that. And so that for me was the moment where it was like, I could see it maybe if they didn't have that scene, because when he rages out on the ship, it does feel very much like old Hulk where he's just breaking everything.
Yeah.
But you stop for a minute and you take, I think if I take the scene where he controls his flight, controls where he lands, mm-hmm. makes a conscious decision where he lands, and then when, you know, Banner transforms in the final fight, those both show me that, no, he was more pissed off about being betrayed and potentially being, you know, that nobody really stopped to say, hey, have you got control of this? Nobody really asked those questions. They just made the assumptions. And even Black Widow was guilty of making those assumptions.
There's only one person that wasn't.
Yeah, that was more just him being honestly angry. And, you know, let's face it, Black Widow is not a superhuman.
No.
Hulk, when he hit Black Widow, should have killed her, could have killed her if he wanted to in that one blow.
Yeah.
She survived because Hulk wasn't trying to kill her. So, you know, it's like, I think all of that leads me to say that that's not that big of a jump. That it's more of a, I don't feel like anything was necessary.
That's fair. No, I buy what you're selling.
So yeah, I don't know. That's for me anyway. That's how I felt about that.
Yeah, I think what also lends to that is when I can't remember the exact line, but he says something like, people ask me, you know, how I keep from getting angry. The secret is I'm always angry. And that was cool. I dug that. And I just loved, I tell you, I said it last night and I'll say it tonight. I would love nothing more than a buddy comedy with no superheroes, no nothing, just between Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. Oh my God. Those two guys together were awesome.
Well, it's just like, you know, Tony's taking Bruce into his rarefied circles and his crazy lifestyle, and then you have Ruffalo just looking around, has been living, you know, in a shack in shanty towns, hiding on the run for the last however many years in this continuity.
Well, what's cool
is... it would be humorous.
What's cool is the only person that is not terrified of Bruce Banner and him being able to become the Hulk is Tony Stark. Mm. He's actively poking him, trying,
antagonizing.
Yeah, trying to get him to turn, just to see. And it's, you know, I want to show you I'm not scared of you. I'm, you know, I'm treating you as an equal. I'm treating you as one of us. And, you know, I know you've got a big brain. Let's use it. Let's get to this.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool way for him to cut through all the bullshit.
Yeah. No, I liked all of the. I liked all the chemistry. I really dug the story between kind of the Hawkeye and Black Widow's relationship, and their story was really cool. Every one of them felt important mm-hmm. to the story.
Yes, right.
Every one of them felt necessary. None of them felt superfluous. You know, they needed them all. And Black Widow was fantastic in...
amazing.
Just
acting?
Yeah. You're giving me everything I want. I'm going to goad you into giving me everything I want simply by pretending to be, you know...
the person you thought I was.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So
yeah.
that was really well done.
All right, so we're approaching the hour mark here. We should get to our
probably
picks.
Probably do the actual what we're here for.
Yeah, so you guys get to go first because I stunk it up last week.
Jonathan, I think you're in the lead. You were in the lead last week. I think you're in the lead this week.
I mean, I shouldn't have moved away from the box office of manager because...
sometimes we click away from the wrong series.
Looking at this, I'm wondering if there's not going to be some similarity in our picks. Because I have mine written down, and I can actually show it on camera right now. That I'm not
quick, bullshit. Jonathan, get ready to read it.
Well, I am going to go with... I think there is enough antipathy. Yeah, I think that's a word.
Mm-hmm. That's a word.
I think
there's
so.
Enough like antagonistic feelings. Like there are enough people that realize that they have tried to make a movie out of the board game Battleship, and I think
and they advertise it as such. It's not like they're trying to be subtle about it.
It's
not the first movie based on a board game though either.
First one based on Battleship.
That is very true. Somebody has joined you, Justin.
There's Clue.
That was the only other one I could think of.
Clue was good.
Well, they had a lot more to work with, to be fair.
Yeah. This is a game about picking numbers off a grid.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work.
B6, Jonathan.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama in that.
You sank my battleship.
C5. But... So I think there's enough like skepticism and even if it's like I just saw a Film Crit Hulk comment that they make a great cheesy one of the best cheesy decisions ever. So maybe they're going to for the cheese factor and playing up the playing that up a bit. But even so, I just don't think that I don't think people are going to go for it. So I'm going to go, at least not over Avengers. So I'm going to put the Avengers at number one again. And then for all of the bashing of Battleship that I've done, I think those people that have already seen the Avengers 3 and 4 times and want some more blow-up action, explodey action, will then go see Battleship and put it at number two. After that... things get dicey. I think I'll put What to Expect at number 3 just because we need a chick flick. Think Like a Man did well. This seems kind of in that same vein. Ensemble romantic comedy. Then I'll put, I think... 4 and 5 come down to Dark Shadows and The Dictator. I just don't know which direction that's going to take.
I do.
I think I'll go with The Dictator at number 4 and Dark Shadows at number 5.
So you're going to put Dictator at 4 and Dark Shadows number 5. Okay.
I have no reasoning for that. Those are just the numbers that I did.
I'm going to pick with my heart, which never works well for me, so I expect to score badly this weekend. But I'm putting the Avengers at number 1. Okay, I said I'm picking with my heart, but I still have to put Battleship at number 2. I don't want it to be at number 2, but even I'm not going to try to buck that trend. But then I'm going to put the Dictator at number 3. I think it looks good. And I enjoy it. I'm hoping it'll do well. I don't want to pick What to Expect when you're expecting at number 3, so I'm going to put the Dictator there. So then we come to, as I click back to that screen, so then we come, for me, I've got What to Expect, you're expecting Dark Shadows. I expect they're going to be number 4, number 5 for me. So after thinking about it, I'll put What to Expect, you're expecting number 4 and put Dark Shadows at number 5 and call it a day. So pretty much the same as Jonathan's, but I'm switching his 3 and 4.
Surprisingly enough, we all three have different picks. Because I didn't change anything. Mine are right there if you can read it. Anyway, number 1, Avengers. Number 2, Battleship. Number 3, The Dictator. Number 4, Dark Shadows. And number 5, What to Expect when you're expecting.
Very nice.
Without much commentary. I mean, I think Avengers is a given. Battleship is, I think there's enough curiosity, and it's big and explodey, so yeah, that's going to be a number 2. I think people know what to expect with Sacha Baron Cohen, and he's got a good track record, so I'm going to give him number 3. I'll be honest, that Dark Shadows was one that kind of left me pondering, just because I have no clue what it's going to do in a second week. I didn't think it was going to make as much as it made last week, but maybe I'm just underestimating the audience for Johnny Depp, Tim Burton, and or fans of either version of Dark Shadows. And then what to expect when you're expecting. I don't see this going higher than fourth or lower than really fifth. I mean, I think fourth or fifth is probably really safe. So
I don't feel particularly strongly about any of these picks, so I can't really argue with either of you on the ones.
Yeah. I would be honestly shocked if Avengers and Battleship weren't one and two in that order. Anything else, yeah, it's a crapshoot.
I will renounce my citizenship if Battleship beats out Avengers.
Mm. True. I will join you, and we will head to Canada together. You and me, buddy. Buddy cop. By the way, not buddy cop. Buddy movie. Andrew and Jonathan head to Canada.
Backseat box off, say.
We can go visit Scott.
Yeah.
We have a place to crash.
Hang out with either Scott
and or his lady friend Sam.
There you go. Yeah, so apparently I dittoed BD. And from the chat room, Lena is dittoing me.
Is William still in the chat room or has he left?
William is still in the chat room. His picks are Avengers, Battleship, Dictator, What to Expect When You're Expecting, and Dark Shadows.
Very good. All right, well, man, I swear, if Battleship takes number one, I'm doing something drastic with my life. I don't know if Canada is the right answer, but there will be changes in my life if Battleship comes number one. I may storm off this podcast in a fit of rage next week if Battleship comes number one.
That would be fair.
Prepare. You guys better start thinking contingencies if you look at the estimates in Battleship's beating out the Avengers.
Yeah, and so if you guys check the estimates this weekend and you see Battleship ahead of Avengers, we'll be taking applications for Andrew's replacement.
Because either my head will explode or I will just go crazy. It's not going to be pretty.
No, not at all.
So I appreciate everybody all listening, and we'll see you next week.
Catch you guys later. And for those folks joining us on YouTube for the first time, welcome. Come join the site, backseatproducers.com.
It's always better in the backseat.
Truth.
I don't remember what anybody picked.
I picked what you picked by Switch 3 and 4.